All right, everyone. Welcome to tonight's episode of the Hot Widows Club podcast. My name is Crystal, and I'm the Hot Widow of Eric. With me tonight, I have my dear friend, as usual, Allie, who's the Hot Widow of Ross.
Hello.
And a very special guest tonight, we have Jamie, who is the Hot Widow of Luke.
Hi.
Welcome to the Hot Widows podcast, Jamie.
Thank you.
We are so excited to have you.
I'm excited to be here.
So we always like to start off, Jamie, by giving a couple updates on our life, what's going on. So feel free to jump in our conversation. And then at some point, we're going to jump over to Jamie and learn more about her and Luke's story and where she's at in her widowhood journey. So what sort of updates do our audience need to be receiving from the Hot Widows Club podcast this evening?
Okay, let's see. So Husker football has started. Mm-hmm. Jamie, do you follow Husker football?
Unfortunately.
Yeah, fortunately. So big news, actually, that our coach got fired. That was pretty big.
That's a big one.
I took Gus to the Husker game for the first time in our seats. So Ross and I got season tickets the first year we were married, and which was 10 years ago. That was our thing. We would go to the games and sit together, and I had not been back to our seats since Ross had passed.
Oh my God.
And so 2 weeks ago, I took Gus and we went and we sat in our seats, and it was incredibly emotional, but also incredibly magical. So we always called them our Husker family. So everybody that sat around us has sat around us since we've had our seats, and they've had season tickets for like 20, 30 years. And they all live in small town Nebraska. And so when we got there, you know, they said, oh my gosh, Gus is getting so big. Where's Ross? How come you weren't in your seats last year? We didn't sit in our seats at all last year. And I didn't let anybody else sit in our seats either. Basically, we're reserved for Ross to sit there. So I had to explain what happened, and everybody's crying, and we're all just living in that moment. But what touched me the most is that just the good of people. So Gus had all these questions like related to every single play. He sat through the entire game. It was like a little Ross. But all these people were answering all of his questions.
How sweet.
I mean, just it just warms me. It was so intense. And they were high-fiving him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the song of the game, which I know we talk a lot about music, and Crystal has really gotten me into a variety.
Like Petey Pablo, Freak a Leak. Yes. Which we were listening to on the way down here, because why not?
Gotta get in the mood.
Yeah.
So
this is Monday night.
And we're having a drink, actually.
Touché.
It was As It was the song, which is a Harry Styles song. And I had never heard the song before. But if you listen to it, audience, like the lyrics were perfect. It was about how it's not as it was, and how things are different, and how it's just us and it's okay. And so,
oh, wow. I need to listen to that song.
Yeah.
I've never heard it before.
That's awesome. I don't think that's a coincidence.
No, I don't think so either. No. Yeah. So anyways, that's my update.
Awesome. Let's see. So I left a huge cliffhanger out there last week that I'm not quite ready to talk about, because I have a meeting this week to learn a little bit more about. So unfortunately, our recording date and my cliffhanger news just didn't coincide like I'd wanted to. So you're going to have to wait one more episode to hear my exciting news, some of my exciting news. But I do have one other piece of super exciting news that I can't wait to share. And that is I've committed to doing a scholarship fund. Mm-hmm. And I am going to do a scholarship fund for kids in Nebraska who have lost their parents to cancer of some sort. And so that's awesome. My goal for next year. So my challenge to you, Allie,
okay,
is that you join me in this.
I would love to.
And that we form this foundation in remembrance of Eric and Ross.
I would love it more than anything.
Great. I kiss you right now.
Let's go.
So much love here.
A lot of things happen in this room, Jamie.
So that's why there's wine.
Okay. Yeah, well, I'm not drinking wine, but Yeah, so that's some of my big news, but the other piece of it, you'll just have to wait another couple weeks to hear about, audience. So I will definitely be super excited to share that when I get more information on it.
Yeah.
So let's see, carpool, nothing. That's great. That's going really good.
I got honked at.
Good.
In the carpool.
Were you being a dick?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't know.
If you got honked at, you deserved it.
I don't think I did, but maybe. But it was from a freaking dad, too.
Excellent. Even worse. You should have said, lick it, like a lollipop should be licked.
Oh, my gosh. Anyways, I got honked at. Anything new happening with you, Jamie? Any update you want to share?
I mean, not nearly as exciting as either of those things.
Life's wild.
I'm going this weekend to visit another widow sister. She found my blog back in 2019 when Luke had passed away, and she lives in Southern California, and she is a single widow foster mom.
Oh.
Both her and her late husband had a dream of being foster parents together or adopting children together. And so she wasn't willing to let that dream go even when Matt passed away.
Oh my gosh.
We've gone back and forth. Either she comes here or I go out there. And so I get to go out there this weekend and visit her and her little foster girls. They're so stinking cute.
Oh my gosh.
So I'm pumped for that. It's always nice to be in the company of somebody who truly does understand.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
Kindred spirit for sure.
Aww. That is so great that you bring that up, Jamie, because Allie and I have been so fortunate to touch the lives of many different widows in who I've just become close with. And it's this instant bond that you have when you meet someone who truly understands where you're at.
It is.
Mm-hmm. And complete strangers reach out to me and it's like, well, we're best friends right now. So deal with that because it just feels right.
Yeah.
Somebody was talking the other day. I was hearing something about changes and such. And like when trauma happens and you meet new people, one of the most rewarding things that happens that can come out of trauma is the people that you meet along the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
It's very true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's move on to learn more about Jamie. And so audience, I don't think there's anything else Allie and I have to update you on.
No, one last thing. So it was Hank's birthday. But this is a crazy sign. So, Jamie, I would love for you to share any signs you've had that have been like powerful. But I haven't even told you this, Crystal.
Mm.
On his birthday, we were walking outside, and as we're walking and like through the door, a cardinal comes flying at us into our house.
In the house?
The cardinal flew into our house, flew around the living room. Did like one little loop-de-loo and then flew out the door.
That's fantastic.
That's Ross.
Like,
yeah. Oh yeah.
Right?
Yes. And you didn't think Ross was bringing you bird signs. Maybe it was Jane.
I could have been Jane, but I was like, whoa. And my boys were like, Daddy. I was like, and then you just flew right out. I was like, thank you for not staying in here.
Because right. What I would do. Right? I mean, I miss you, but.
I have a complex. Do I keep the bird? Do I not?
Right.
How do I handle this?
Insane, right? Anyways.
I got to tell you about Allie's birthday party game.
Okay.
Shit is on fire. I mean, girlfriend Kim put on a party. She just killed it with this reindeer themed party in September. She had Christmas shit out. She had food, like reindeer food. And she had people dressed up like reindeers. Allie has the best family in the whole wide world. I gotta tell you the funniest story about her brother. So, like, there's all these treats there. Like, she's got this beautiful cake, these cookies, like, everything is perfect. And her brother is eating some sweets, and someone said, hey, do you want a piece of cake? He goes, no, I'm saving myself for Kona Ice. Like, who passes up all of this?
For Kona Ice.
So then the Kona truck gets there. They walk outside. And here's Allie's 6'6" brother first in line.
Little kids behind him. Ridiculous.
Just taking over the 4-year-old birthday party. It's hilarious. So it's never a dull moment in the brooding household.
No. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was a great party. She can throw a rager. So on to Jamie. Jamie, please take the mic.
Yeah. Do you mind sharing with us your story, Luke's story? How did you meet Luke? How did he pass? The days leading up to it, the days after?
Yeah. I had known Luke for about 10 years prior to us starting to date. Luke was a live musician around Omaha. I mean, if you were anybody in the live music scene, the acoustic music scene, like, you knew Luke Johnson. Yeah, that was Luke. And so my first job was actually a hostess position at a pizza place, or bar and grill, if you will. And Luke would play there all the time. Mm. And I was like 15, 16 years old, massive crush on this like cute college age guitarist at that point in time. And I just kind of like silently crushed on him for about 10 years as a silent fan.
Cool.
It was years until I could even get into a bar that I could go watch him play. But so, you know, life happens obviously. And I was finally to the age that I could go out and have fun. And I started noticing he was playing a lot more often. And I ended up sending him a friend request on Facebook, just like casually. And he accepted. And then that was that. Like, there was lots of time that went by and nothing had happened. But July of the year that we started dating, I had posted a video of me singing Rocket Man, a cover of Rocket Man by Elton John, on Facebook, because it was kind of like this ode to my dad. He was in really poor health at that time. And I wanted to show it to him. And it was just going to like make him happy, because that was my dad's favorite song. And so Luke had like immediately commented that he like, I didn't know you could play piano. Like, that's beautiful. And so he sends me a Facebook message and he's like, would you like to come sing with me sometime?
Oh.
So like 15-year-old Jamie's like, oh my God. Yep. I said yes immediately. So then he just kind of like ghosted me. There was no follow-up invite, like, what? No nothing after that. So
fucking
me being,
dick.
I know, typical guy. So me being the very adamant, if I want something, I go get it type of person that I am, stalked him and naturally found where he was playing his next show, which happened to be the bar that my brother was a general manager of. It's like, great, I'm going in. So I invite all my family, not all of them, but my family that I would go out with. And I said, hey, let's go here tonight. I'm like, Luke Johnson's playing, like, I think we should go. So they all joined me. And sure enough, I get invited to go on up on stage, if you will. It really wasn't a stage, but go up and sing with him. And it was like one of those moments that like I felt like time had stood still. Mm-hmm. Like,
wow.
Oh, like, this is exactly what I'm supposed to be doing in my life. Like, nothing else mattered up until that point in time. And a tiny previous backstory is that my brother-in-law had bought me on Amazon this very intricate sticker book. And it was, you had like these little tiny stickers, then you would put them on the piece of paper, and then eventually the stickers would create the picture. So he gave me point values for the stickers. So like, if I would take a shot that I normally wouldn't do, he would give me a sticker to put on my page. And so the goal was to fill this picture.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not very good at being adventurous. And my brother-in-law's whole goal was, let's get her out of her shell. Like, she is crocheting on my couch and she's 23 years old. Like, let's get her out. And so every time we would go out and do something, I would ride on the back of his motorcycle, or we would go to a dive bar that I never would have gone to. I just got various stickers. So I go up on stage with Luke that night and sing like a few songs with him. I'm obviously like grinning ear to ear, walking back to my family, and my brother-in-law just mouths the word stickers.
Oh.
And I turned to him and I said, I'm gonna marry that guy.
Oh my
gosh. And I
gosh.
Sat down. And
Jimmy, what'd you sing? Do you remember?
So I'm trying to think of I think the first song we sang was the Mike Posner's I Took a Pill in Ibiza, the acoustic version of that song. Because I had covered that song by myself before, and he ended up playing it. And I'm like, hey, I can sing that song. Like, mm-hmm. I know that song. And so I sang that one. And then I think we did, it was an Ed Sheeran song, but I can't remember which one it was. It might have been Perfect, which it was Perfect.
Aww.
And then we sang Walking in Memphis. I know we did that one. Mm-hmm. But anywho, I never spent a day apart from Luke from that point on. The next day I saw him, and then every day following.
Wow. That's cool.
Yeah. That was
so awesome.
It was like day one, and then literally never was apart from that guy. So we sang all around town. Like, that was our thing. We were just madly in love with playing music together and making people happy through song. And so my signs from Luke are always music related. Mm. I mean, that guy will play me songs in a gas station and our song will come on. I'm like, come on now, stop this. Like, enough, enough. I could be on an airplane and the person next to me is like listening to Rocket Man on the side. I'm like, come on, really, really?
Did you have to? Like, right,
you're,
here?
You're 12. Why are you listening to Rocket Man? But I mean, that sort of stuff really just, it happens to me all the time. So how did Luke pass? He had no underlying health conditions. I'll preface with that. He had actually just gotten a physical about a week prior to him passing away, because we were trying for children and not successful by any stretch. And so we were both getting a lot of tests done and kind of work up. And so I had suggested to him, the guy who literally hated doctors. I mean, I never would go. He never had a single vaccine. He didn't go to the doctor if he had a cold, nothing. So for me, he went and had like a full blown physical done, and he was so proud. He came back and like showed me to the printed out piece of paper. See, babe, perfect health. Look at that. Not a dang thing wrong. And literally all of his levels were like perfectly in the center.
Mm-hmm.
It was a model of health. Like, you looked at that and you're like, this is the healthiest 30-year-old man I've ever seen. Jeez Louise, he doesn't even have high cholesterol or anything. So he was totally fine. And then it was the first really, really nice day of the year. It was May 4th, 2019, and it was beautiful outside, like just gorgeous. Everybody was out gardening or mm-hmm. doing, you know, yard work.
Yeah.
And Luke was obsessed with keeping literally an immaculate yard. He had like a striping kit attached to his mower, and it was perfect lines in our yard. I mean, he would do patterns. He called it lawn domination, and he was obsessed with making sure that our yard was the best one in the neighborhood, and it was. So I kudos to him for that. But he had watched all these YouTube videos all winter long about how to have like the perfect summer yard. So he was going to start that day. So we were out doing yard work all morning, and that Saturday started off just like any other one. And we had made coffee and breakfast and like chatted about what we were doing with our day. And so I went out and I helped him for a while, and then I ended up just getting really hot and deciding I needed to go back inside. And he said, yeah, you're too pretty to do yard work anyway. Go on. And I had had a really bad week. I think it was like 3 days prior, I got diagnosed with PCOS, with polycystic ovarian syndrome. And so that was kind of like our explanation as to why we were not being successful with conceiving. And it was just a blow. So I hadn't been sleeping. I was up doing the worst, which is Googling all the things that could go wrong with PCOS. So I was just tired and hot and done. So he sent me inside. And then a few hours later, he comes in, he chugs a Gatorade. And neither one of you will believe me when I tell you what he said to me next. But it was the one sentence that he had said to me probably hundreds of times in our relationship. And it was so casual. It was just the way that he said goodbye. No matter if he was leaving for the gas station or to work or to go to a show, or it was just the way he said bye. And so he gave me a kiss on the forehead and he said, love you. See you on the other side. And
you
that was
be kidding me.
The last words I ever heard from him.
Oh,
like, legitimately.
Gosh, Jamie.
So about an hour later, I got a bunch of knocks on the door, and then the doorbell just kept like ringing like nonstop. And it was this little boy at the door, and he said, ma'am, you have to call 911. And I just remember staring straight into the yard, and there he was, face up, gone.
Oh my gosh.
Gosh, Jamie.
Yeah. Fortunately, the lady that was walking by with her son that had rang the door was a nurse. She just happened to be walking down the street at that perfect time.
Oh my gosh.
And so she started CPR right away. I called 911, obviously screaming bloody murder. We did CPR for a long time and the ambulance came and we went to a lakeside, which was the closest hospital at that time. And they just, I mean, they asked a ton of questions. He was, I mean, he was dead on arrival. I mean, he was, there was no pulse. I mean, they did CPR the whole way there too. So eventually they got to the point where they could intubate him and then got a pulse back. And essentially he was just on life support. So very comatose at that point in time, but a pulse and stable. And then the next 6 days, honestly, are just a total blur for me. I think, and I'm sure you guys will get this, grief brain totally erases a lot of memories for you. To protect us from what was highly, highly traumatizing. I still have those like very vivid, I'm going to call them like screenshots of moments in the ICU and then obviously seeing him in the yard, but I don't have a lot of day-to-day recollection of the 6 days in the ICU because everything was just a blur.
My gosh, we just talked about that our last episode, is that my friend was recalling things differently than I did, and I had a widow reach out to me and she said the same thing. She's like, I'm so glad you guys brought that up because I am not remembering things the way that other people remember things.
Yeah.
It's a real thing.
It is. Widow brain is so real. And you really just, you don't remember things the same way.
Yeah.
You don't. So then to make a really long 6 days short, they did everything that they could and then came to me and said, you know, you have a really hard decision to make today. And I remember looking back at them and saying, no, I think I have a really easy decision to make today. Because it was. I mean, there was nothing more that they could do. And I knew that the worst thing that I could possibly do for that man was to keep him a vegetable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they had pretty much confirmed he was totally brain dead. And even if they could keep him on life support or intubated, there was no promise of him lasting more than, you know, a couple more days.
Gosh.
So why prolong something that we knew was the inevitable?
Yeah.
But it was, I guess, both the hardest and the easiest decision that I had ever made. But we had sat around and I call that like round table circle of death in the hospital, literally. And made that call. And the doctor was, you know, he said, Luke's, his vitals are pretty good right now. It could be a few days, maybe even a week. Even if you went unintubated, took the tube out? How do you say that? Like take,
I don't know.
Taking the tube out. Even if we took it out, you know, right now, it could be a while. And I said, nah, like he'll go today. And nobody believed me because he really was doing fine on the oxygen support. But everybody had gotten to say their goodbyes. And then I think it was maybe 3 p.m. or 4 p.m. And I said, go ahead. Take it out. And he was gone by 11:51 p.m.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. Yeah. So I knew.
Yeah.
You always know.
Yeah.
As a caretaker, as a like someone who's so deeply connected to the person you love. You just know.
You do.
Jamie, how long had you guys been married at that point?
Ooh, 6 months.
Wow.
6 months. Yeah, we got married in November of 2018 and Luke died May 9th, 2019.
Gosh, Jamie.
It was fast and furious.
And how long had you guys dated before that?
About 2 years.
My gosh.
So, I mean, everything about our relationship was just kind of like on fast forward. But we knew right away, which was, people called us crazy, but now I look back and say that was the greatest blessing in disguise. Oh, because yes. I got to experience, you know, marrying that man, marrying the love of my life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And to love him the way you loved him?
Yes, and to be loved the way that he loved me. I mean, that guy literally would have screamed from a mountaintop and it still wouldn't have been loud enough for him.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Al and I were just talking about that on the car ride down here. Is that like our husbands put us absolutely first?
Oh yeah. Oh, not even a question.
Yeah. Marry someone who puts you first.
Mm-hmm.
That is love. And I put him first.
Same.
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. 100%.
My gosh.
Yeah. So that, I mean, that's my story kind of in a, I say nutshell, but it wasn't. That was kind of long-winded. That's my story. I'll just say that.
it's a beautifully sad, tragic story.
Love
my
story.
My gosh. Yeah. So Jamie, he passed away when?
May 9th, 2019.
So we had just been diagnosed at that point.
So are we.
Yeah.
Yeah. How I know Jamie actually is through our close friend, Lindsay. So Lindsay's husband went through a cancer journey and she was very public about it. And her husband passed away, I want to say March of 2019?
April.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so Ross was diagnosed like 2 weeks after her husband passed. And I remember her sharing with me your blog. And I have never read anything more beautiful in my entire life.
Oh, thank you.
And I would love for you to share your blog if you feel comfortable on here.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about that. Tell me what started you or what interested you in doing a blog.
I had to get it out somehow. I mean, you're just so sad at that point in time. I mean, your whole world just got ripped apart. I mean, couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep. Hurt to breathe. I'm sure you guys can relate to that. Like, everything just hurt. And nobody warns you about the physical side effects of grief either. Your uh-huh. whole body is just numb. So the only thing I could really think to do was write. Because I had to get something out somehow. And so I was given the suggestion by another widow friend of mine. Why don't you start a blog? I mean, you don't have to publish it, but at least put some words on paper uh-huh. and go for it. And so I did and ended up, gosh, I think I probably did 20 posts in the first month after he had passed away because it was the only thing that felt like therapeutic. It was uh-huh. the only thing that was yeah. cathartic at that point in time. But it's called Confessions of a 25-Year-Old Widow because that's how old I was when Luke had passed away. And it kind of just took off. I mean, I ended up having 100,000 views in the first year, which I felt was like a lot because I was just a widow from Omaha, Nebraska.
That is a lot.
It's a lot. Yeah. That's amazing.
It was kind of crazy. And all just word of mouth and a little bit of social media. But I met some incredible people through this blog, you know, one of them being Emily, who I'm going to go visit this weekend in Southern California. And I mean, I made widow friends in Canada and in New York and in Florida. Like, I feel like I could go to any state in this country and there's a widow waiting for me.
Right. We're a tribe.
Yes.
We absolutely are a tribe.
They stick together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's that feeling of togetherness. It's hurt so fucking bad.
Yeah.
There's nothing that hurts.
But the one thing that makes it a little bit better is knowing somebody else gets it.
Yes.
Somebody else kind of understands, and that makes you feel seen and heard and not so devastatingly alone.
That's exactly mm-hmm. why I wanted to do this podcast, is I felt so freaking alone. And I knew there was other people out there that felt that way, and I didn't want them to feel that way. I wanted to feel connected and heard. It's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
One of my most favorite posts that you've done on your blog, I'm sure I'm going to butcher it, but
you will not.
It's about broken crayons can still color.
Oh, yes.
And I feel like that now. It's like, you know, even my kids, they always go for the crayons that are perfect, right? And everybody does. Everybody wants that perfectly ready crayon. But the broken ones that are broken in half that nobody goes for, right? It's not what you go for. But they can still color. They can still be beautiful.
They still make the same mm-hmm. color.
Yeah. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I saw that quote and I thought it was a really good representation of widowhood. Because you're never the same whole perfect crayon again.
Right.
You know, once you're broken, there's no putting you back together. But it doesn't mean that you can't still make something really beautiful out of your life.
Yeah.
Even if you have to patch that red crayon up with some green and some yellow, mm-hmm. it's still really freaking pretty.
Yeah.
Really amazing. Widowhood has changed me so much. Jamie, do you feel like you've changed?
Oh my gosh. Night and day. Yeah. I'm not even sure Luke would recognize the person that I am today, to be honest with you.
Oh my gosh. Tell us about what that change looked like for you.
Shoot. I mean, every little aspect has changed. I think just mostly the perception, the way that I view life now is so drastically different than it ever was before. And more so than just the campy, you know, life is short cliche that we all say now, but more so how I live my day-to-day life, just the choices that I make that might seem different to some people seem so normal to me. And a lot of that involves setting really, really firm boundaries. If I don't want to do something, you bet your ass I don't do it. If I want to go somewhere, I book the trip. I go. If I really, really want something in my life, I work really hard to get it, because I don't know, none of us know. If there was one thing that his death kind of proved to me, it's just that life is really fleeting. And even if you are a perfectly healthy 30-year-old man, you could die in your front yard tomorrow.
It's happened.
I was there.
Right.
You know? And I've just kind of changed how much control that I have, and learning to let go. And that's been a really, really powerful journey for me.
Mm-hmm. I always talk about control, and I think that for me has been helpful in my change too. I used to try to control the situation as much as I could. And now I just am like, you know what? It's okay. I don't really need to be in control of that, because I know that ultimately I don't have it.
Right.
Like, there's way higher powers somewhere in this universe that already have a plan for me. So why, you know what? Why fight this? Let's just let this happen.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I think that's one of the biggest changes for me too, is that I've stopped, like, when I want something, I just go for it. And I don't care what anyone says or does anymore. It's just like, you know what? We're doing this. Like, one thing Eric used to do, like, he wanted dinner. Like, he didn't want it, but Eric was very structured, and I am not a structured person. And we'd get home from work, and we had to make dinner, and we sat down together and ate as a family. I don't even make meals anymore. Let's just eat when we're hungry. But eating isn't like us sitting down together and talking. Like, we make plenty of time for that. Eating isn't the place we're going to do that. So, you know, dinner might be a peach or, you know, a bowl of cereal or banana. I don't know.
And that's okay. My dinner was graham crackers for like the first month after Luke had passed away, because it's the only thing I didn't throw up.
Right.
Yeah.
We do what we want. And so, Allie, how have you changed?
Oh, gosh. I agree. I don't think Ross would know who I am anymore.
Right.
But I do think he would be very proud. I agree with both of what you guys said. For me, it's just not caring really what other people think anymore. That has completely changed for me, and just doing what I feel is right. And I think a lot of people don't agree with it a lot of times.
Yes.
Especially my family. But
yep. Amen.
That's okay. It's what's right for me and what's right for my boys. And I just say, fuck it now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Loud and proud. Fuck it.
Right. Exactly. Fuck it. Who cares? Yeah. I can't agree more. I'm lucky that I have people in my life who don't, like, nobody questions me, at least not to my face. So they're all super supportive. I think that I've built my tribe up really nice, and they're just like, sweet, I'm glad you're doing that. What are you going to do? Like, tell me more about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm loving that. And I think that fuels my sense of adventure a little bit more, is people that support us through that. So, Jamie, now it's been 3 years.
Yeah.
And where are you at now?
So, I am in a serious relationship, and I have three giant, giant dogs.
Oh, wow.
So, I'm never alone. I'll tell you that. Nope.
What are your dogs' names?
There's two Bernese Mountain Dogs, and Bubs and Nana, and they're litter mates.
Oh.
They're great. And then my baby is Dublin, and he's a Newfoundland, and he is 130 pounds.
Oh my gosh,
pure
you don't
joy.
Even weigh that.
No, I don't. No, he's just great, though. I mean, I feel like pets are just so awesome when it comes to grief. And so even on my hardest days, you know, somehow one of those dogs knows. And they're there.
Oh my God, Kevin right there. Knows.
Your dog's name is Kevin. That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. I told Allie for the longest time, he just jumped in my bed and curled up right next to my ass. Eric was obsessed with my ass, like touching it, looking at it, making comments about
you just
it.
Said licking
I did too.
No, it's like, great.
Looking.
Okay.
No, never, ever, ever licking.
Wow, you learned something new.
No, now my face is red. No, looking. Anyways, and Kevin, I got Kevin 2 days after Eric died. Yes. Or after his funeral. And so anyways, he just slept right there. And he still does today. Right next to me.
Kevin's got your butt.
He does.
I swear he's Eric.
Oh my God, he's Eric. And I think that, so my kids took Kevin to Eric's parents this weekend where they were staying over the weekend. And Violet was so nervous that Kevin was going to run away. And I think that she honestly believes the same thing. Like I believe that Eric, a little bit of Eric lives in Kevin. And
got
I think
a little
losing
bit of
Kevin.
A spunk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Jimmy, long-term relationship, 3 dogs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you, do you live with your partner or?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
And do you guys live in your house or?
We built a house this past year. So it's a new house. Yeah. Thank you. It's beautiful. It's fun. It's going to be really great to.
Oh, that's awesome.
Have holidays to decorate for and all that jazz.
But. How did you meet him?
He is Luke's best friend.
Oh my gosh. Yeah,
that happens a lot in the widow community for all those listening that don't know. Everybody's always like, oh, really? And I'm like, it's normal. I swear to you.
Oh, because he understands Luke.
He right? does. Yep. We grieve the same person.
Yeah.
It's obviously a very different kind of grief, but it's been nice to not have to explain why I'm sad on a certain day or why I'm missing a person. And if there's an inside joke, most likely he knows the same inside joke or he's got 3 more that are way funnier than the one that we had. So it's, you know, they were best friends for more than 10 years. I mean, they worked together in like high school. So it's really nice to have somebody who misses the same person.
Oh, I bet.
Wow, that's beautiful.
That is a really neat story.
Yes.
Yeah.
Cool.
I love that.
That's a great way to keep him alive, too, in both of your lives.
Right.
Yes. Absolutely.
That is really awesome.
Thank you.
So when did you guys start dating?
It was a little less than a year after Luke had passed.
Cool. Congratulations.
Yeah.
I've learned to just take kind of life one day at a time, and what happens, happens, but... But right now, I mean, exceptionally happy and it's good.
It's great. Mm-hmm.
And all the dogs help.
The dogs are everything, I gotta tell you.
That's awesome.
No, he's a wonderful man. But together, with the house of dogs, it's nice to not feel alone. I mean, you guys can totally relate to this. When your partner passes away, there is no lonelier night than those nights. Like, your world just straight up shuts down and becomes a pit of dang loneliness.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a crippling feeling and it really doesn't go away. I mean, even I have a new partner now in a new life essentially, but I still feel that loneliness because I can't ever have what we had back.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when people say like, oh, is it easier now? Fuck no, mm-hmm. no, but I'm better. Like, I'm stronger, but nothing has gotten easier. Like, that loneliness, that sadness, that grief, not even remotely goes away, and time doesn't even touch it. You got to want to heal, and you have to want to feel better and be stronger, and that takes a lot of guts.
Yeah,
and you do heal, and you do get stronger over time, but to Jamie's point, you don't lose that pain.
No.
That pain stays in your heart, but to you widows listening who are new in this journey, like it becomes, I don't know that palatable is the right word. It becomes
part of you.
It just becomes something that you just, I don't know, you just always have it with you, but you can be happy.
Oh, yeah.
And it does come. Mm-hmm. It does come, and it's like, wow, what happened? I used to be so sad and crumbled up in a ball on my floor, and now I can walk upright and I smile. And it, like, for me, it just happened one day. It was like a switch flipped in my mind.
But I think the coolest part about going through something as traumatic as we all have is that this, I mean, our lows are really low. I mean, they're so low, but happiness feels so much better than it ever did. I mean, you have those moments of joy and it's like you want to bottle it forever because it feels that much better.
Mm-hmm. The highs are so much higher.
Yes. Yeah. And that's something that I wish I could share with others.
Yeah.
Because it's so much different. I wish I could go back and, you know, those moments of joy in Luke and I's relationship, our wedding day or our engagement or taking, you know, photos together. I wish I could put the joy that I have now on my really good days and pour it into that because it's just so powerful. But you take so much for granted, you know, when you are just living a normal mundane life, you don't realize how incredible those little moments really are until you go through something like we all have. And then those little moments become the best days ever.
My gosh.
And you know it, you recognize it in that moment. You're like, holy cow, like I'm going to remember this for the rest of my life. And you do.
Yeah, that's amazing. I feel like now laughing feels so good.
It does, like, it just, doesn't it?
It's so deep. Mm-hmm. It's so real. And before I felt like it was, but not like now. There is nothing like just laughing. Like Allie, this weekend, Allie and I went for a walk and her son goes, I might need a snack to go for a walk. And I was like, well, yeah, we should pack some snacks. So he stuffs his pockets full of snacks. And then he goes, I said, well, you're going to need some for your brother because you're not going to want to give him yours. So he's like, yeah, you're right. And so he starts packing his other side of his pockets full of crackers. So we're out riding bikes and Allie and I are walking and he looks at Allie and goes, Mom, I'm really packing some snacks. Allie and I are just belly laughing and it just felt so good. Like I'll never forget the moment of Allie's son talking about packing snacks in his pockets. And it was hilarious, but it just felt beautiful. And the moment, like the moments I remember now are not like the moments I remember back then.
Right.
Like I have such a vivid memory of that, like that whole walk.
Yeah.
Because it was just so fun for me and so special.
It was special.
And so I have so many more vivid memories today of happy times than I do memories of sad times. Like even some of the sad times are starting to dissipate. Like some of
Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Some of those moments from the last year and a half are just like starting to get a little bit lighter in my mind. Like the really sad downs. I'm trying to celebrate just the joys now. I did watch my video from Eric last night. I didn't cry, but I did smile. And oh, I've never looked at that video and smiled before.
What a triumph for you. Like that is big.
Mm-hmm. Just hearing him talk again, it was just like ear to ear smiling. It was a weird feeling.
I remember that transition. I obviously have a lot of recorded music of Luke. He was a singer-songwriter and he had like actual albums that were out. So I have Luke's voice essentially on the tip of my fingertips at all the time, which is such a blessing. But I remember there was just so many months that I couldn't even listen to it because it just made me cry. It was so sad. And I remember, like you said, I remember that moment that I would listen to it and it made me happy. And I smiled instead of bawled my eyes out. And like, that was a pivotal moment in my grief. I knew I was growing. I was getting stronger.
Jamie, what helped you? What advice could you give other widows that are still within the first year, first 2 years?
Yeah,
grieving.
Go to therapy. Get yourself a mental health practitioner. No, I credit so much to therapy and taking the time to do the work. It sucked. I mean, honestly, the first year was just brutal. I mean, and I never sugarcoat that to any new widow. It sucks. It's so hard. But if you don't do the work now, it just comes out in full force later.
I imagine.
So yeah, I did a lot of, I did some EMDR, but the most effective thing for me that I ever did was hypnotherapy.
What's EMDR?
EMDR is, it's a trauma technique in therapy, and it's, it uses like tapping and lights to move the, I guess, really traumatic memories from your frontal cortex. And I'm going to butcher this because I am not a therapist, but to the back of your brain. So like it's a more repressed memory. That's the way that it's explained to me. And it is really effective. It's got a ton of research behind it. My issue was it wasn't long-term enough for me. It didn't stick around. So it worked temporarily, is what I'll say. And then I did hypnotherapy shortly after, and that has been the most life-changing therapy I've ever done.
Wow. And that helped you with your trauma?
Oh, yeah. Because all I just kept seeing was just images. I mean, I kept just seeing my dead husband laying in the grass. And I'm like, I cannot do this anymore. Like, I couldn't even listen to an ambulance without having a panic attack on Dodge, you know?
And gosh.
I'm like, I can't live my life like this. So I really encourage people, please do the work. Go to therapy. Take the time. It is worth your money.
Mm-hmm.
And then also find something that brings you joy. You know, for Christ's sake, I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's drinking wine in your pajamas.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't. I just think it's so important for people to find little things in life that make them really happy and do more of that. And laughing, go to comedy shows. I saw so many stand-up comedians in the first year, and I attribute a lot of that to my joy because I just laughed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I was so sick of crying. I just wanted to laugh instead, and I did. But joy is such a underrated emotion.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Like it really is. I wish people realized more that is the good stuff in life.
Yeah. We should be selfish with joy.
Yes.
We should absolutely. It's one thing that I've been like trying to struggle with because I want to be so full of joy with things that bring me that feeling that I'm working through, like being a lone parent, which they bring me joy. My children bring me great, great joy, but my friends also bring me really great joy. And I'm struggling.
Have both. Mm-hmm. You can have more than that.
Yeah. And how do I find that healthy balance to get all of those feelings? I have a girls' weekend coming up that I cannot wait for the end of September with some of my best friends from high school. We've been friends forever, and we just laugh so, so, so incredibly much every time we're together. The girls I went to the wedding with,
Oh. We
have a blast together, and I'm just pining for that moment to laugh with them. But yeah, I think that not like, repressing, I'm feeling like you have to be sad, and that's what this journey tells you have to do. Is totally the wrong answer. You should be sad, like let your emotions out, but you should also find joy. Like you got to find a balance there. Ellie, what do you do to find joy?
I don't know. This brings me joy. I will say that. And my kids, I'm not where you both are at. It's trying to find time for myself. It really is. And I feel guilty easily because of the time with the kids and my littlest has separation anxiety really badly. And so I'm working through that. I think he needs play therapy, but it's hard because I want them to be okay. And because when they're not okay, then I feel like I'm not okay. Like it's worse. So I'm like, when does it become like they're okay and they don't need me as much? I don't know. And I'm can do stuff for myself. I'm in this like unknown territory.
Yeah. I don't know either. I'm in the same boat.
It's hard. Because I know I need time for myself. I just don't, it's just not that, it's not easy.
Yeah. It's tough. It is really, really hard.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
it's
I also, easy. And I'm sure you guys can relate. I also had to learn how to ask for help.
We just talked about this.
Yes. Oh my God.
On the way down here.
Why was that so dang hard?
Why is it know? So hard, Jamie? I have the hardest time.
I'll tell you why I do. And I was telling Allie on the way down here. It's because you, like, all these people want to help you. Like, for me, they wanted to help me. And I would ask because I'm not a tolerant person. And so I might ask one person, I might say, you know, hey, can you watch the kids for me tonight so that I can go, I don't know, to this work event? And they'd be like, oh yeah, I can, but I can't do it until like 7:15. And then, yeah, I can, like, can you pick them up by like 9 or whatever? And I'm like, but I told you it was from 6 to 8. And so that just annoyed me. And I was like, you know what? Don't offer to help me. If you can't do it on my time, right? Yeah. Or you can't just be flexible or whatever. It drove me nuts. And so I was like, I'm not asking anybody for help. I'm just going to do it myself. It's just easier for me to take care of it on my own. It's coordinating with someone else. It's just a pain in the ass.
I think people need lessons in how to like offer help too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you say you're going to help, literally don't ask questions. Just figure it
just
out.
Just do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that should be in what not to say to, well, not in what not to say to a widow episode, but one of the best ways to help do. A widow. Yeah.
Yeah. We want to have an episode on how to help a widow.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just do it.
I think I have a list on one of my blogs. I wrote about that somewhere. Mm-hmm. Feel free to read the bullet points. You know, I listed them all out real clear.
That's great.
Yeah.
We need to. What is your blog called again?
Confessions of a 25-year-old widow.
Confessions of a 25-year-old widow. So check that out. I think that's a great resource for anyone who's going through this journey.
It is. I love it.
I will hopefully make you both laugh and cry, but crying is important. Figured that out.
Yeah.
Sometimes I force myself to cry because I just need a really good cry.
Yes.
I haven't cried in months.
Are you coming up on a year?
I'm just over a year.
You're just over a year.
Well, February was a year.
Okay. So you'll be 2 years this coming February. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
And I thought listening to the video last night would make me cry. And it didn't.
You're kicking butt.
Yeah, you are. I cried today. I cry every freaking day.
I mean, I teared up. Almost.
I cry at commercials.
Yeah, I cry all the time.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on.
But I had a stretch where I did not cry.
You did?
Yeah. I did. I had a long stretch. I just could not cry. I couldn't bring myself to cry.
When did that, like, what was going on in your life?
I think I was just, it was almost in my, like, angry fuck it stage. Like, I was done. Like, I was just ready to do me. And that was really empowering. Actually, I was really glad to not be crying. I was just more in, like, in my zone.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of came to terms with a balance. So, and now I'm back to like normal crying, but because that's just who I am. I've always been a crier.
I'm not a crier. Maybe that's it. I'm not naturally one to cry.
Yeah, it's okay not to cry.
Just be an intermittent crier.
It's what?
You be an intermittent crier, you know?
I just feel like I'm a little disconnected from Eric and that's bothering me. Like I don't feel him as much as I used to. Like I don't get those warm feelings. Like where he would just take over me. Like I think I had one of those warm feelings like maybe 2 months ago, like that he was there. And I just haven't had that in a long time. So I'm feeling pretty disconnected from him and I'm trying to find that again, but I don't know where he's at.
Where are you, Eric?
Eric, get home.
Have you asked for him?
I think I have.
Keep asking.
I will. I'm going to ask a little bit more intently.
Especially before you go to bed. That's what I do. And that's when I get my dreams.
Do you have, I was just going to ask you, do you have dreams about Luke?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Frequently?
Yeah. Pretty frequently.
Wow. I'm so jealous.
Oh my gosh. Me too. I've only had 2.
Yeah. Me too. What's wrong with us?
I don't know. I don't have those answers.
Have you always had dreams?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow, I've always so been, lucky. But I've been a really like lucid dreamer my whole life. Like always. I could like create my own dreams if I wanted to. Like, you know how before you go to bed, like if you think about something, then that's what you dream about. Have you ever had that happen to you?
No.
Oh.
No. I just like talking there, like, what are you talking about?
No.
I mean, I wish I would be dreaming about Ross all the time if that happened.
I know. Me too.
That's really cool.
It's been my whole life though. So I do know that I'm not like a normal dreamer, but yeah, that's a big way that I do feel like I communicate with him is through a dream state. Which is nice. It's comforting.
Yeah.
He's always doing good. He always looks real good. I'm like, dang you. To die, you're so handsome. Shit.
That's amazing. Yeah. Eric always looked healthy in my dreams with him too, I think.
Yeah, so did Ross.
I definitely know when we were driving in the hoopty, he looked healthy. Eric, if you're out there, come to me in a dream. Please.
There you go. You just put it out there.
Right. Universe just heard it.
Manifested.
Let's see what we can
do. Come on, Eric.
Mm-hmm. It's because I'm so tired every night.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever heard of witching hour?
Oh, yeah. 3 a.m.?
Yeah. So I've been waking up at 3 a.m. and sometimes I feel like that's Eric.
That's a sign your life is about to change drastically, typically.
Oh,
wow.
Crystal.
I've already been dick slapped. I'm not sure I can take anything else.
Good things are coming.
Good things? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'll take that. I'm really happy at work. Really happy. That's a good feeling.
That is a really good feeling.
Yeah. Loving it.
Yeah.
I love going to work every day. Work I do, people I work with, stuff I get to, the way I get to help people. That's really cool. That's part of my big surprise is helping, getting more ability for me to help people. I'm loving that opportunity.
That's
spoiler alert.
That's next episode.
Thank you so much, Jamie. This has been such a pleasure.
I'm in good company.
Yeah, it means so much to us. And if you ever want to come back on, we'd love to have you.
Jamie 2.0, just like Connie 2.0.
Yeah. Maybe we'll just have like a little widow room here.
A whole room full of widows.
Sounds dangerous.
You have no idea what we can talk about as widows, right? It is hot, yeah. You have no idea what widows talk about. For any of you who aren't listeners, the things that we really do talk about off the mic, you couldn't handle it.
That's really so very, very true.
Couldn't handle it. So it's not like anything I've ever experienced in my whole life is what I would talk to Allie about. Like, deep.
Pretty personal, yep.
Yep. So if you, any of you widows are out there and you need to talk to us, please check out our social media sites. Hot Widows Club Podcast on Instagram and Facebook, or you can email us at the Hot Widows Club Podcast at gmail.com. And please check out Jamie's blog at Confessions of a 25-Year-Old Widow.
Thank you.
All right.
Good night.